Also in the news today, Saudi Arabia is working to bring together members of the Syrian opposition in an effort to choose representatives for the upcoming Syrian peace talks scheduled for later this month. Today's task will be an incredibly difficult one. The opposition is riven by infighting. Many of its members lack credibility with those fighting on the ground in Syria. The lack of unity among opposition forces has hampered the peace talks so far. And the situation is complicated by ISIS and the war being waged against the Islamic State by the U.S., France, Britain, and some Arab countries, not to mention Russia's involvement in support of the Syrian government. Jennifer Caffarella is a senior research analyst at the Institute for the Study of War. She's with us from Washington. And Jennifer, this has been the problem all along, hasn't it, that the armed political opposition and political exiles don't trust each other, and to the fighters on the ground, the folks outside lack credibility.
Correct. So what Saudi Arabia is doing could provide some important momentum to that objective, but the U.S. and the West more broadly should not overstate the significance of this coalition, even if it does succeed in producing a coherent opposition bloc.
Trying to bring unity seems like a Herculean task. I mean, in November, Russia, which supports the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad, pushed a plan that outlines a political process for Syria that would lead to elections in 2 years. If President Assad is part of that plan, then it's a non-starter for most members of the opposition, correct?
Correct. It is actually already a non-starter. And that's, I think, an important aspect of this Vienna process, which is where the first two rounds of talks were held. The current Vienna negotiations are based on a Russian proposal, actually, to keep Assad in power through the guise of a new presidential election, which Assad actually just won. So Assad was reelected last year in mid-2014. And so Syrian rebels have been through this charade before. And are unlikely actually to come to the negotiating table in significant numbers under this context. And so I think when we look at the next round of talks, which is scheduled to begin on the 18th in New York, the West should be very pragmatic about what we actually expect to see.
What can Secretary of State Kerry do to try to make these talks more relevant and realistic? Right now, it seems a bit of a charade.
It is a bit of charade, and to be honest with you, I think we'd have to scrap the entire current framework, which is agreed upon by both Saudi Arabia and Iran, which, as you know, are rivals in the region. That agreement is a significant diplomatic success. However, it doesn't actually make a political settlement in Syria more likely. Saudi Arabia and Iran continue to back opposing factions on the ground in Syria, neither side of which has significant enough combat power to win the war. Both sides continue to struggle over the alleged list of terrorist members that Russia is trying to get both sides to agree upon to designate certain elements of the Syrian opposition terrorist groups. And so as long as Iran and Saudi Arabia remain committed to coming out on top in Syria, the current framework is actually unlikely to result in a negotiated settlement.
Jennifer, nearly 5 years into this particularly nasty war, President Assad is still in power. ISIS controls big parts of Syria and Iraq, including Mosul and Raqqa. Al-Qaeda-aligned groups are also on the ground. It's a complex, violent morass. Is there any reason for optimism about the situation in Syria?
It's a very good question. I do think that there is some reason for optimism. However, I worry that current U.S. strategy is going to facilitate the disappearance of that reason for optimism. There is a Syrian segment of the Syrian opposition that is nationalistic, that desires a unified Syria and the eradication of all forms of terrorism, whether it be Al-Qaeda or ISIS. However, that opposition is fragmenting under the continued pressure of the Syrian regime, backed by considerable Russian airstrikes, which are actually targeting the nationalistic Syrian opposition en masse rather than Al-Qaeda or ISIS in Syria. So as the U.S. continues to back the charade of a negotiated settlement, those groups continue to dwindle. And it's very possible that in the next year or year and a half, we could see those groups subsumed into larger groups such as Al-Qaeda in Syria or some of the Salafist fundamentalist allies that are among the most powerful elements of the opposition.
What more specifically would you like to see the Obama administration do to try to build a more credible opposition force?
I think the U.S. has to begin with standing up to Russia in Syria. I do not think that that means going to war over Syrian airspace with Russia. However, there are tangible steps the U.S. could take. The U.S. is, among other things, providing select opposition groups with a small number of TOW anti-tank missiles, which are hugely helpful in helping Syrian rebels resist Russian-backed regime ground offensives. The U.S. increased the shipment of these weapons after the start of Russian airstrikes, but the U.S. could do more in that regard by providing select military capabilities to elements of the Syrian opposition in order both to prevent further regime advances, but also to encourage Syrian rebel groups not to enter into deeper partnership with Jabhat al-Nusra. It is often the delivery of these advanced weapon systems that is a sufficient incentive to encourage these groups to continue to remain independent in order to continue to receive those supplies.
Jabhat al-Nusra is the al-Qaeda-aligned group on the ground. Jennifer Caffarella is a senior research analyst at the Institute for the Study of War. Thanks for speaking with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.